السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين. إن الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا. من يهده الله فلا مضل له، ومن يضلل فلا هادي له، ولن تجد له وليا مرشدا. وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له، له الملك وله الحمد وهو على كل شيء قدير. وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله. اللهم صل وسلم وبارك على نبينا وحبيبنا وقائدنا وشفيعنا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه ومن تبعه إلى يوم الدين أما بعد. إن شاء الله we'll continue in Asma Allah al-Husna. I believe today is the 47th name. And again, when we know about Asma Allah al-Husna, we know Allah, or we get to know Allah. And when we get to know Allah, we like to go to Allah. So to know Allah is to run to Allah. And to be ignorant of Allah is to think that you're going to run away from Allah. See? When you are ignorant with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's names and attributes, you act as if you are not going to be caught. You act as if you are not going to be accountable. You act as if you're going to you can run away from Allah. And to be told that you cannot run away from Allah is a word that is said. But if you understand it, or when you understand it, then you run to Allah. And how do you understand it? Is when you understand the attributes of Allah, or to begin to understand it. Then you know that you love to know Allah, so you run to Allah. Now, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, one of His attributes, Al-Jaleel. Al-Jaleel. And Al-Jaleel, meaning, is the one who has attributes that make Him Jaleel. He's the one that has the attribute of Mulk, absolute controller and owner. He has no share in what he owns. And it means also the one who have the absolute knowledge about things that he created, about everything. And it means he's the one who is capable over everything that he created. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the creator, the owner, the most knowledgeable, the most knowing, and Al-Qadir, the most capable and able. And that these kind of attributes make Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala Al-Jaleel. The one that you are at awe with when you recognize Allah as Al-Jaleel with your heart and your mind. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is Al-Malik, Al-Aleem, Al-Qadir. So therefore, he is Al-Jaleel. So, Al-Jaleel is the one that has the attributes that is so powerful that you cannot help but to submit and surrender to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. When we think of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala as the one that was there before anything was created, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, by words, He created. And by words, He creates. So He told the heaven and the earth to be, and it was. And it still is. And it's still functioning in a way that Allah commanded to function. In a way that has a precision in it, in everything. And Allah is in control of it, and when He wishes, He will destroy it all. And this creation that He created, all of a sudden, will become nothing again. And then as Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wishes, He will be alone for a long period of time. Then when He wishes, Azza wa Jal. See, Azza wa Jal. This is when we say Allah Azza wa Jal. We say He is the most dignified, the most honorable, and the most Jaleel. He will command when He wishes for everything to come back. And He will command for the justice to be there, and everyone will go through accountability. So when you think about that, when you think Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the one who creates, destroys, changes things with words. And words, it is because we need to, you know, we understand, you know, here is a word, be, and it is. He is the most powerful, the most knowledgeable, the most capable. So we have a respect, a fear, and a love for Al-Jaleel. We talked about Dhul Jalali wal Ikram. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the one who have Jalal, the names of Jalal and the names of Jamal. And we said that the names of Jamal are the names that we run to. And the names of Al-Jalal is the names that we are careful with and build protection against. Okay. So when we run to Allah, we are running away from Allah. We're running away, you know, from the Jalal of Allah to the Jamal of Allah. As one scholar was saying that when you go to Mecca, you sense Asma'ullah of Al-Jalal. And when you go to Medina, you sense Asma'ullah of Al-Jamal, of beauty, of mercy, of forgiveness. You know, when you go to Mecca, that feeling that you get when you first see the Kaaba for the first time, or every time you get to see it, but especially for the first time, you'll be taken. Your whole soul will be at awe. You'll be frozen for a moment. You'll be trying to make dua, and you're not capable of it for a little bit. You're at awe. This is a sense of Jalal of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, through the creation, show us, as we walk around and see the huge mountains, the huge oceans, the huge skies, the universe above us. And we think about that and we reflect on it, and it is by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, be, and it is. It is done. What power and what knowledge. We just begin to understand it. But we know it is. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has the epitome of it. So when we think about that, we are very small, very humble. Even when we say we are very humble, this is not fitting. When we say that you become humble as if, you know there is something about you. You know, no, we should be less than humble. We should be nothing. Nothing at all. With the sense, when we sense Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala as Al-Jaleel. Okay. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala showed us how He destroyed, you know, those who thought that they were powerful. And they were demolished completely. Cities were picked up, flipped upside down, and thrown back on earth. Winds came to people, took them from, you know, took their souls out of them. كَأَنَّهُمْ أَعْجَازُ نَخْلٍ خَاوِيَةٍ. As if they became, as if they are a hollow trunks of palm trees, of dead palms. Okay. Imagine, you know, when Allah says be, what happens? Everything happens. Okay. So when you know, how can we walk around in our lives and do something and think that we're going to get away with it? How could we? How can we disobey Allah and not think about it? Okay. How do we? Because if we do so, we are saying that, you know, we can, you know, punishment is not going to reach us. It is the mercy of Allah, and that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is waiting for us to come back to Him. It is what we hope for. And when you think about Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala as Al-Jaleel, you know that you, no matter what you do, is not enough to worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You are incapable of thanking Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You are incapable of giving Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala what He deserves. But from Allah's mercy, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us more than what we deserve. So for the little that we do, Allah give us His bounty upon us. So we run to Asma'il Jamal. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, within His Asma'ul Jamal, Al-Asma'ul Jalal would follow as well. Okay? And the other way around as well. When you become pious and you appreciate the mercy of Allah upon you, and with the attributes of mercy as it comes, and you disobey Allah, because Allah loves you, Allah will follow this attributes of mercy with attributes of Jamal, the attributes of Jamal with attributes of Jalal. So we'll get you back on the path. So you will reach this, or this Asma'ullah of Al-Jalal will reach you. So when it reaches you, you want to go back to Asma'ul Jamal. So you humble yourself back, you repent, you go to Asma'ullah as Al-Ghafoor, Al-Rahim, Al-Rahman. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will take you to Asma'ul Jamal again. And this is our life. This is our life. Okay. Now, from those who are fortunate one, blessed one, that they are in their life, they would face Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's attributes of Jalal. So we can wake up. So we can go, run to Allah. Okay? From Allah is mercy. Allah's mercies will reach some people and they were disobeyed so much that Allah will not show them His attributes of Jalal. From the punishment of Allah upon them, Allah will give them more and give them more. Okay? And send them messengers. And they will not believe. And they still, and get the message, they will not believe. See the ayat and they will not believe. And Allah does not show them the attributes of Jalal until the time comes. And once the attributes of Jalal arrives, it is their end. It is done. There's no way back. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He is ad-dar wa nafi', the one that sends harm and sends benefit with it. An attribute of Jalal and Jamal together. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the one that sends the punishment. Okay. And then His mercy is there. But His mercy always before His punishment. Why? Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will not start putting you through something that will straighten you out until you go crooked, until you stay away from the path. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will send something to you, conditions that you will be in, pressure that you will be in to get you back to the rahmah of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, to get you back in that, looking for the rahmah of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So we look at our lives and look which part of attributes of Allah is resonated with you now. As a believer, you know that it's always the attributes of mercy. Because a believer would know that even though they might be going through difficulties and through the attributes of Jalal, they know that this is good for them. So they are submitting with it and happy with it. And pleased with it with patience. And they examine themselves so they can get back on the path. And this is the difference between a believer and a hypocrite or a disbeliever. In Ghazwat al-Khandaq, the Battle of the Trench or al-Ahzab, when an army of an enemy was coming around, there was a number that was unheard of before. Okay. Over 10,000. And the disbelievers or the hypocrites, what did they say? When they saw, you know, the cold, the ration of food, the wind, the darkness, all these difficulties, they saw, they can hear the enemy across the trench. They said, مَا وَعَدَنَا اللَّهُ وَرَسُولُهُ إِلَّا غُرُورًا. Allah and His Messenger, they promised us was nothing but false. It was just in vain, not nothing solid, no haqq. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, when the believers saw that, they said, هَذَا مَا وَعَدَنَا اللَّهُ وَرَسُولُهُ. They said, this is what Allah and the Messenger promised us. وَصَدَقَ اللَّهُ وَرَسُولُهُ. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is telling the al-haqq and the sidq, the truth. And Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam saying so as well. And that increased them in their iman. Okay? So here is a difficulty is coming. And it increases the iman of the believers. Okay, the believers, because the believers understand that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, all His attributes is good. Because nothing bad about Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, no deficiencies. And this is part of Al-Jaleel. He is Al-Jaleel with no deficiencies whatsoever. When the Muslimin lost in the Battle of Uhud and went back to Medina, all winded, all bleeding and all tired, الذين قال لهم الناس إن الناس قد جمعوا لكم فخشوهم فزادهم إيمانا. When people came to them and says, the people collected the army back and coming after you here to finish you off, so be afraid of them, be aware of them. And Allah says that increased their iman. That increased their iman. Okay. And what did they say? They said, حَسْبُنَ اللَّهُ وَنِعْمَ الْوَكِيلُ. Okay? Allah is our protector. Allah is our wakil. Allah is our helper. Okay? And they did not even stay. They went out attacking them before they come to them. And when the enemy heard about this, they turned around and ran away. And the victory came to the Muslimin. Okay? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will not put a believer in or under the mercy of a disbeliever or someone who is a tyrant and that would humiliate him. Okay? This is the benefit of following Al-Jaleel subhanahu wa ta'ala Azza wa Jal. Okay? No matter what happens to you, you are always dignified. Allah will not put you through humiliation. What you're going to be put through, something might be similar to others who are not believers, but to them that it will be humiliation, to you it will not be. Okay? Because you know that Allah is with you, and this is all part of who you are as a believer. So Allah will not allow that to happen. So, you know, those who were fighting Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam and so forth, they always looked up to him. Okay? He's always a dignified person to them. He always was a leader for them. But they were refusing to take him as one. Their souls, their hearts, their minds knew that he is a leader. And he is the one that was the message, and he's the one that takes mankind to safety, but refused it and tried to go after him and harm him and so forth. That is not something that is put in wal'iyadu billahi Rasulullah sallam through humiliation. When he's alone, they would try to tease him and throw things at him and so forth and so on and laugh, but they are still having respect to him. When he turns around to them and talks to some of them and says, "You and you and you are going to be killed," one of the sons of Abu Lahab is, as the author saying that he Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, may Allah, you know, put the dogs of the earth upon him. One of his dogs upon him. Okay? So, imagine that. You know, Abu Lahab is cursing Rasulullah sallam, harming him, and putting him he thinks that he's putting him through humiliation. As soon as Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "May Allah send one of his dogs, you know, to your son," okay, because he was doing the same thing, the man was terrified. Both of them were terrified. That is dignity. And then what happened? He told him not to leave, protect him all the time. Finally, we had to leave for a caravan. He told the people, "You have to protect him. Okay? You do not let him sleep alone." And as the author goes, that they put their belongings around and they sleep around, and he's in the middle. And a lion came and took him away from everybody. Okay? Allah's dog is not a dog. Allah's dog is a lion. It is, you know, as some scholars put it. Okay? Yeah. So here is, you know, here is that balance, okay? Or that reality. Okay? When the Pharaoh was making mockery of Musa alayhi salam, he was afraid of Musa alayhi salam. Okay? He was saying, you know, "I will destroy them. I will go after them. I will go after Musa alayhi salam," when he was in front of him. But he couldn't, and he knew that he was afraid. And he knew that what he heard is the truth. He might call him names. La yakadu yubin. This man who is la yakadu yubin, that he can barely, you know, articulate himself. He can barely articulate himself. What is this man here? But he knew in his heart that he told the truth. And when we stay away from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala as Al-Jaleel, as Al-Aziz, as Al-Malik, as Al-Qadir, as Al-Aleem, then we will be put in a situation of humiliation. Because you are with something else now that will never compete with Allah, will never stand with Allah. So therefore, you guarantee defeat. You guarantee yourself humiliation, because you're the one who walked away. Why? Because you did not know and realize. You did not realize and think and ponder about who is Allah. Okay? Allah is the one that tells something that He wants. Be and it is. يَقُولُ لَهُ كُنْ فَيَكُونَ. And some scholars beautifully said, if you want something, you will say, to it be and it is. To it, what is it? It's not there yet. It is not there yet. Allah says, يَقُولُ لَهُ, will say to it, be. So with Allah it is there, with us it is not. With the knowledge of Allah it is there, but with the knowledge of man it is not. So from the existence of the knowledge of Allah to the existence of the reality of people, the be will be realized. And when we think of that, what else could we do but making sujood? What else could we do but try to get yourself to cry and humble yourself? What else could we do and but thinking about this all the time? If you are thinking as a soul all the time, how could you disobey Allah at any thought? Not any action, any thought. How could we? Okay? When you do, you know you're away from Allah. You know that you have to come back quickly. When you catch yourself from the moment of thoughts of that which angers Allah, you know the deficiency is in you. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala given us all of that so we can be benefited. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala given us His names and attributes so the benefit will come to us. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is putting the bounty on us so we can come to Him. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's names of Al-Jamal is the one who comes and loves for you to love Him. So He's doing things for you to get you to love Him. And you disobey Him. How could we? Through fear and love. Through being scared with love and respect. Thinking of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala as Al-Jaleel. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala Dhul Jalali wal Ikram. He's the one with the names that puts us in fear and respect, and the names that are beautiful that we come to. But a believer could reach a level of looking at the names of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that is so powerful and punishing and so forth, and they look at it as a beautiful name. Because we do not say, you know, Asma'ullah and there is Husna and no Husna. No. Asma'ullah and Husna, all of it. Allah is beautiful names and attributes, all of it. So a believer should look at these names of power and names of destructions and so forth as beautiful names as well. It is beautiful. Why? Because it is not for the purpose of destruction. Not for that purpose at all. It is mercy coming with it, and justice is coming with it. Mercy and justice comes before it. Okay? So when we look at our, you know, Muslim, you know, Muslimin on the earth, and we look at that what we are going through, we say, Alhamdulillah, that is good. Because whatever happens to us is good. The only thing that would be in a way of loss is when we are not aware of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. When we are not accepting what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is giving us or command us with. When we rebel against what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does, that is a true loss. A true loss. Even rebelling in a way of discomfort. Okay? There is some who would cry because they had some discomfort. about something that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala put them through. So they feel guilty that they had that discomfort. They think it is the fly. I mean, it is something like a mountain on a shoulder of a believer. That little discomfort becomes a mountain on the shoulder of a believer. And there are those who, as Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam described, will not be aware of anything and do that big sin, and it will be like a fly on their face, on their nose. You just move their hand to get it moving, and that's it. Okay. So how guilty do you feel when you start in a way of disobedience to Allah? How guilty do you feel when you catch yourself not being aware of Allah in certain situation? Okay? If you don't feel so much guilt, you're in trouble. Okay? This is, remember the hadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, when a man was coming out of his house, Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam met him in the way and said, "Huh, kayfa asbahta? How are you this morning?" The man says, "Asbahtu mu'minan ya Rasulullah. This morning I find myself a believer." So Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "For every reality there is a proof. So for everything that the reality is a proof. What is your proof? Okay, what is your proof that you say now you're a believer?" He's saying it like, "I know I'm a believer." Then he said, "أصبحت يا رسول الله وكأني أرى أهل النار يعذبون وأهل الجنة وأهل الجنة يتنعمون." That as I became this morning. He said words has a general meaning of as if I look at the people of hellfire being punished and the people of paradise being rewarded. So he was aware of this and so close to him. What did Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam say? عرفت فلزم. These are two words that are so powerful. So powerful. Now that you know, so you stay put. Now that you know, you hold on. Now you be aware now. Be careful now. Hold on now. This is ma'rifah. Okay, عرفت. He reached the level of ma'rifah. The level of the knowledge of the unseen to become so close to him and be aware of it. Then, now be careful. See? When reach that level, it is not, Allah will not deal with you like a person who did not reach that level and commits a sin. It's a whole different issue. It's a whole different level. Okay? There is a difference between a person who is not aware and does something, then he needs some guidance or maybe something to wake him up to get him to know what's going on. So he keeps going. The difference between him and a person who is aware and knows and have knowledge of the reality of things and then stays away from it. No, this one needs more of a lash, more of a strong hit, more of a wake up. Okay? They cannot be the same. They cannot be the same. Okay? So, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, when we are with Allah al-Jaleel, with Allah Al-Aziz, with Allah Al-Qadir, with Allah Al-Alim, with Allah Al-Malik, okay? We are with everything. With everything. Everything that's existing and could exist. See? Everything that's existing is from Allah. And Allah has everything that existed, existing, and will exist by be and it is. And when you are with Allah, you are in safety, total safety from anything and everything. And if you take one step away, Allah will never take a step away from you. You're the one who's going to take a step away from Allah. And if you stay away longer distance or longer time, then eventually you are putting yourself into having nothing. And this is what dunya is. Dunya comes to you and you think you have many things. And the more you get from it, the more you want more. But those who are wise and believers, they go with Allah. And what happens? Dunya will come after them still. But they will not be running after it. It will be running after them. The dunya will be in their hand. The dunya will serve them. Those who have dunya in their hand, the dunya will serve them. And those who have dunya in their heart, dunya will abuse them. And if you are with Allah, you will never be abused with dunya or with anything existing in this dunya. Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will not allow it. Because you become, you'll have a relationship with Allah. As we heard Brother Lu'ay when he was reflecting on the words of Ibn al-Qayyim rahimahullah, you become a mudaf, okay? And you know Allah will be mudaf ilayh, right? Abdullah, right? You become Abdullah. You become a mudaf. You become something with mudaf and mudaf ilayh. That is a grammar, right? Sheikh Habib knows this, right? So mudaf, you are added. Yes, and something you had added to. Okay? But you, when you add yourself to Allah, when Allah allows you to add yourself to His attributes and His you know, all His attributes, what kind of servant this is? What kind of a slave this is? A slave that gets the benefit of his master. And the master does not need the slave at all. When you stay away from that, you become a slave that the master will take everything from you and you will get nothing from your master. Okay? So, we get by choice to be slaves of Allah. To be with Allah, have fear of Allah, have respect with Allah, be at awe with the attributes of Allah, and be with the mercy and the attribute of Jamal as well. Insha'Allah, the microphone is yours, insha'Allah. We'll start with the sunnah was started, insha'Allah. Go ahead. Do you have the microphone?
السلام عليكم ورحمة
الله. السلام.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على خير الأنبياء والمرسلين سيدنا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين. One of the interesting things about Allah سبحانه وتعالى that everything He command that's what I found. You know, I'm finding. No, I did not found yet. That what we are taking as this is do and don'ts, and that's what bother most people, you know, like they have heavy heart about these things, you know, like Allah told them do this, do not do that, do that, do not do this, and it's a command and you have to follow it. Some of them did not understand why it's a worship. You have to obey Allah. If you disobey, you will be punished. The most interesting part about this that I'm finding that each command, regardless small or big, it's for our benefit. Completely. It's not like, of course, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, if He wish to do whatever, He can. He could order you something and there is no benefit for you. But what I'm finding that every command, from the prayer to the fasting to the charity to the staying away from things to, it's for us. It's not for anything benefit, you know, for something else. You know, it's a command out of
for the sake of command, yes.
Right, go and clean this and come back to me. No, it's all for us, I mean. And we mentioned, if you remember last week, we talked after the halaqah about the the worm in the pork in the beef.
Yeah, please say it. Put it on record, please.
No, no. Yeah, I mean, I had a surgery last week, and we did not record this. I was in the surgery, and it's a young man from South America, and we are doing a brain surgery to get out a worm. It's like a half an inch worm, or less than half an inch, maybe quarter of an inch worm in his brain. And the incision for this surgery was like half foot long, you know, from all his skull, to get out the worm, because he ate, you know, raw pork, you know, pork in general, you know, or you know, big meat, and he get infected by this larva, and it's go to his brain, and God knows where he have it also. He might have it somewhere else. He's the host now. So he's done, unless he treated completely, you know, he will come up with another problem. But subhanallah, yani, you don't. Nobody in the surgery room admit that he eat pork when he saw that. I mean, everybody talking to each other. He said, "No, no, no, I don't eat pork." He said, "No, what about you?" "No, no, no, no." Because I announced, I said, "Alhamdulillah, I am a Muslim. We, you know, completely period. We don't eat it. Neither it's cooked or not cooked or whatever." So they all start denying, you know, that they are eating, and there are multiple. There is Jewish, Christian, whatever. But anyway, I received a study lately, I mean like 2 days ago. Imagine that they done study in one of the European countries. They found that the man, if he stare in a very beautiful woman, stare, it's not like a quick look, a stare, you know, he look at her. They found that this will diminish his judgment ability, and he will lose some of his judgment memory, so he will do stupid things. So he cannot.
Is that a surprise?
No, it's not. But the study itself is amazing that they found. You know,
but now it's coming out. It's coming
out. Yeah, subhanallah. So it's like, يعني Allah subhanahu wa taala ordered to غض البصر.
Yes, yes.
I mean, Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "The first look for you, the second against you." And Allah said, "Do not look." And we don't know why it's. We took it whatever you know an interpretation. But scientifically, they found that. And that's what we see, you know, teenagers in front of girls. They do stupid things. They jump from a building. They break their neck. They start doing. It's because the male designed like this. If he stare in a beautiful woman more than he should, it will diminish his judgment ability and be do stupid things, and he cannot even focus to do. And I mean, things he will do normally, you know, he have a good judgment in it. It becomes stupid. So it will lead him to, God knows, whatever after that will come, you know. If driving, he will make an accident or whatever. So look at that. Just this simple command, which is, it's like, tell the believers and to يغضضوا من أبصارهم, to not stare too much. Look how much benefit, I mean, for the male. And I'm just giving an example, you know, small example. So I'm finding that all the commands, subhanAllah, in the Quran, it's all for our own benefit. Wallahu alam.
Who's next, inshallah?
It's the microphone, Habib.
It's Habib.
Okay. And I know as soon as we finish, we're going to sit in a circle and we're going to chat until
I heard about Imam Shafi'i, that one time he went to his shaykh and he said he had extremely, extremely good memory. So he will cover one page when he reads the other page of the book. That's what the Sheikh said that he went there and he said that I do not have my memory is not that good. Mm-hmm. So what he said, Sheikh Al-Jawadi told me, I forgot that it is the light of Allah.
Yes.
And he does not give his light to the asi, to the wrongdoers.
Yes.
Sheikh said that when Imam Shafi'i, he evaluated him, he said that a woman was going and her lower part of the leg was naked, and unintentionally he looked at her, and then he brought his eyes down, and just by that much his memory got affected that much.
His memory got defected.
Yes.
I had one question. What you were?
Yes. Because you are being recorded. Yes. So put in front.
No, I just had a question about the khutbah this morning and what you just mentioned. You mentioned in the khutbah this morning, in Salatul Jummah, that you come to the reach, to the level of faith, that you see what Allah wishes you to see, you hear what Allah wishes you to hear, and you speak what Allah wishes you to talk. And I suppose the question is, how would you necessarily know that is indeed the case? And in what level, if let's say in assumption one does indeed have that, how would you describe it? Or
no.
You said due to the doing a nafal
yes.
ibadat and all that. So.
Yes, but it does not, that is not meant in specific. Okay? Meaning that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala told you to do certain things and not to do other things. When you are close to Allah, that which you're not supposed to do or see, look at, hear or say, it will be painful for you to see or hear or say. Because you are close to Allah, and Allah is Al-Quddus, Allah is pure. So when Allah gives you the vision to see with, that means you will only be pleased when you see that which is proper. And you will be displeased when you see that which is not proper. That's what that meant. Okay, meaning if you find yourself looking at that which is not proper and you don't feel anything bad about it, that means you're away from Allah. Okay, but with the nawafil, Allah will give you that vision that you can see with, which pleases Allah. Allah will give you the tongue that Allah wishes for you to have so to please Allah, and the hearing that with it you please Allah. So you'll be, meaning that all your senses will be very sensitive to that which is good, and you'll have more of it, and will be extra sensitive to that which is bad, and immediately you recognize it and stay away from it. Yes.
No, I understood that. I guess you did not understand the question. I understood that aspect of it.
Okay.
My specific question is there like a three that you can describe for me that we're in a level of faith that fits in, and what is the next step before or after it, or the steps above it? Let's say if one person has already reached that level, then what are the steps after it?
Okay.
And what is the ultimate the steps, couple of steps before
yes.
it?
Yes.
Put it that way, I suppose.
We are not Ashab Tariqah here. meaning we do not have, you know, a system that you say this is must be the system, and you go through this, you go, and then you graduate to that and so forth. That is not the way. But the way is constantly your iman is going up and down. It increases and decreases constantly. It decreases with ta'ah, and it increases with ta'ah and decreases with disobedient. So the ta'ah that you have toward to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala with al-wajibat, that which you must do, it will take you to a level. But then when you do more than what Allah asks you to do, this is a nawafil, it will take you to a higher level. This is what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, to maqam al-ihsan. And that, in when you get to that level, then Allah will love you, then you will experience that. Does that mean you will not go back? Yes, you can go back. And it just, you are the only judge with this. You judge yourself where you stand in this with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala.
No, I have another microphone, so we have to. I just remembered something, and subhanAllah, talking about go back to the name of Allah, Jalal, Jalil, and being that close to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Sometimes things have been, you know, it's very interesting, you know, at least with me. And today I had a case in children's hospital, and the case was like 10 o'clock. So I was, you know, I just make dua and said, inshallah, I will make it to Salat al-Jum'ah anywhere. You know, there is room there in the hospital. They pray Jum'ah in it, brothers, a couple brothers, I mean, like 5-6 of them. So I said, okay, the case, couple hours, 3 hours, maybe I will make it. They pray at 1 o'clock. So I check the room, and every time it's 1 o'clock. So the case delayed. It's become like 11, 12, 12, 20. I said, that's it. I mean, I completely gave up the hope. You know, I cannot leave the OR because the patient is going to come anytime. And to put more into this, you know, fire, fuel, the surgeon become very upset because of the delay and everything's not going. I'm shouting on this, shouting on that, and the nurses, the managers come, and the whole hospital is complaining, want to cancel, taking photos, why this happened, whatever the situation. I said, I'm done. You know, not for me. I am like an outsider here. I cannot just, you know, ruin the whole thing, leave the patient. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala designed everything to exactly to start the case where enough time to just to start the case. And it's 1:25 now. Now the case started, and I cannot monitor when the case started in the beginning. Now the idea is, how do you approach the surgeon who was upset for everybody? Tell him, I'm going. I'm leaving. Subhanallah, I said, I'll take my chance. You know, So I said, I will be back within 10 minutes. He said, no problem. Go. I said, Subhanallah. So I went upstairs, and I found them just started the khutbah. You know, the brother, he is. So I sit down. I said, inshallah, he will finish quickly. Because, you know, the patient is downstairs, and you know, could be any time.
The patient's not patient.
Yeah, that patient, they could ask for me anytime. You don't know what will happen. Yeah. So the khutbah started, and took him 10 minutes, 15 minutes, and then we pray. And I said, you know, calm down. Allah will take care. He took care of the first one. He will take care of the last one. So I finished and go run downstairs to the thing. And everything was like, I was there. You know, nobody even missed me. Yeah. Subhanallah. And I finished the case within 10 minutes after that. I mean, because it was a very short case. Everything perfect. I did not miss any part. You know, they are taking x-ray and stuff like that. And it was very easy case for the surgeon. I said, Subhanallah. Yani, after I give up hope completely that there is no way I could break Jum'ah, yeah. Allah designed it like this. It was for my own benefit. After. Subhanallah. Not that I'm righteous man, but I'm just telling you, when you want something, yes, Allah will design everything, you know, the upset and the delay and everything come just to work out this. Allahu alam.
Imagine you with Allah in this whole equation.
Yeah.
If this whole equation like this. With Allah, who is the most, you know, The one that Allah cares about most in all this equation.
If you really reach a point like you depend on Allah, you do your job, you take the means, but if you cannot, that's it. And you said, Allah take care of the things. You know, and just forget it. Allah will take care of it.
My comment to that is that one of the branches of Bismillah Tawakkulata ala Allah wa la quwwata wa la quwwata illa billah.
Naam. That's a...
If you place your trust in Allah,
yeah,
and you leave everything to Him.
Subhanallah. Alhamdulillah.
You are.
Alhamdulillah.
I was a non-practicing Shia. I became a Christian for over 10 years.
Subhanallah. You spoke?
I spoke to Lawrence this morning. This afternoon. After school. And I became a Sunni under all Allah's guidance.
Alhamdulillah.
And one of the things that Allah has taught me is how
Bismillah tabakulata ala ilaha wa la hula wa la quwwata illa billah.
Alhamdulillah.
Bismillah tabakulata ala ilaha wa la hula wa la quwwata illa billah. And what a thick branch this is.
It is.
And everything that goes within it. And it is taught and Allah give you the hidayat and open your eyes and ears and all of the senses. Right. And they become second nature to you in that aspect.
So,
and if I did not, I can tell you that if I did not have the hidayat and this, I would have been lost long time ago.
Subhanallah.
So, alhamdulillah. Well, yes, I was a non-practicing Shia, and then I went into a trance, then I had a dream, then I. Why was Allah used the Christian themselves to get rid of some of my habits, and then thereafter I was guided to Quincy Masjid in Massachusetts. I became a muazzin for over 7-8 years. Then I did the work of Dawah since 1996, missionary work on and off. And I'm also in charge at the Northeastern University for Juma. So, and it's all, and then, you know, we were Christian for over 10 years, and then I became a Sunni under Allah's, all under Allah's guidance. But Allah guided whom He wills, and it's, I'm not anything special. Subhanahu wa ta'ala have brought so many people, in our community, especially in, I don't know here, but in Massachusetts, I have met several who not only they became Muslims, but they have gone to become scholars. So, or very knowledgeable. So, alhamdulillah, it's all under Allah's mercy. So, Allah accept, inshallah.
About that hadith with the Shaykh that you mentioned in Khutbatul Jummah, there's a lot of misunderstanding about that in the part I came from. Some people think that the individual becomes God.
Subhanallah.
Because God comes to him, because it says that Allah becomes his eyes, Allah becomes his ears. So the misunderstanding is that the individual has become like God because God has come into him. There is a lot of misunderstanding about that. And one sheikh, he explained that like in Arabic, if you miss the train, you will say that train missed me. So it is... Actually, he explained that the meaning is that Allah becomes his eyes means that you will not see something which Allah does not want you to see. Mm-hmm. You will not hear something which Allah does not want you to hear. And you will see only what Allah wants you to see. Mm-hmm. You will touch only what Allah wants you to touch. You will not touch what Allah does not want you to touch. Mm-hmm. That is what actually in plain, simple language, it means that Hadith Qudsi, not that Allah becomes into that individual. Allah knows better.
Yeah, there indeed is a hadith. There is an addition that is not part of the hadith that you find some people add. And which is, they say, then you become Abd Rabbani, Abd that's Rabbani, and you say things be and it is. You know? Yeah, there are, you know, conditions like
in this hadith, we'll see later on, is that Allah becomes his friend, protector. If somebody fights him, Allah will protect him. Mm-hmm. So a lot of those becomes for the person who does not have enough knowledge, misleads the individual, especially when the atmosphere is like that. Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Just a quick comment. The part Sheikh Mahmoud talked about that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will give him this feeling that he will not look or touch or talk about things Allah does not like it. That's part. The other part, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala could intervene in his behalf, so he will not do that. Mm-hmm. Like we know in Surah Yusuf, كَذَلِكَ
وَلَوْلَا
نعم لنصرف عنه السوء والفحشاء إنه من عبادنا المخلصين. Mm-hmm. So Allah took him away from the environment he was, so he will not commit sin. Even that's completely intervene in his behalf and put him in jail to get him away from the, you know. So Allah could intervene in your behalf also stop the فحشاء or سوء coming to you. Yes. If it's overwhelming and you cannot, you know, and he know that you are sincere and you are from his good servant. So it could go both ways. Definitely, Allah knows what's written for you. So. Want to go through this it's very complex issue, but yes, that's fine.
How can a brother do one thing and then
okay. Subhanak Allahumma wa bihamdik nashhadu an la ilaha illa ant nastaghfiruka wa natubu ilayk. Jazakumullah khairan.